here first.
I was here first, and I came from the further shield. So, this is the first meeting of House Bill 4063 Task Force on revenue, K-12 funding, and accountability. And the first order of business which we have today is to elect a chair. The chair, or the temporary chair, recognizes Representative Nolan.
Thank you. I would nominate Representative Shetterly to chair the task force.
You've heard the nomination. Are there any objections or additional nominees? If not, the chair would take a motion, the temporary chair would take a motion that we accept by acclamation the motion made by Representative Nolan.
So moved.
It's been moved that we go ahead by acclamation and accept Representative Shetterly as the chair. Chair Shetterly, please take your seat here, and I'll move away and take all the authority with me. Mr. Chair.
Could I get your copy? Is that right?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that Senator Dukes be allowed to serve as our vice chair of this particular committee, task force.
Thank you. Representative Butler moves the nomination of Senator Dukes as vice chair of the task force. Is there any discussion on that motion either, Senator Klarna?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Is there any objection? Oh, well, I should ask, are there any other nominations to serve as vice chair? Are there any objections? And hearing none, Senator Dukes, vice chair. I want to thank the committee. I appreciate this, I think. just a couple of words before we get into consideration of the rules. I don't think any of us have any misapprehension as to the work ahead of us in the coming couple of months before the start of the session, but by the same token, this may be some of the most important work to come in the next 6 to 8 months as we get into and then move forward through the regular session. So I am humbled and honored by your selection to serve as chair of this committee. We don't have much time, but we sure have a lot to do. So I will commit to you my time and energy and effort, and I know that each of you will commit the same so that we can fulfill our statutory charge, and not only that, but I think our general obligation to the people of the state to do the best that we can under the circumstances that in which we find ourselves. So I want to thank you for that. Before we get into the rules, too, I think it would be appropriate and helpful maybe for our task force members to see who among the group gathered here today are our advisory committee members. We do not have a formal role for the advisory committee on the agenda, but we've got some terrific advisory committee members, and I know that some of them are here. Paul, do you want to introduce them? We've got Governor Atiyah. Governor Atiyah is chair of the advisory. We got Julia Brim Edwards, Portland City School District board member, Jim Scherzinger, Portland School Superintendent. Who else is here? Senator Hamby. Jeanette, good morning. Good to see you.
Matthews.
Harvey, welcome. Harvey Matthews from AOI. And is anybody else here as an advisory committee member? Okay, well, I want to thank those of the advisory committee who are here for your time. Actually, well, yeah, I'm sure. Governor Atiyah, as I understand, you've got a, if you could maybe just step up and tell us a little bit about, I guess you've organized, you've got a meeting schedule, have you? Or yes, uh-huh.
Not today, but I have a schedule.
Yeah, why don't you come on up and just tell us just a little bit about how you've... plan on working this thing. You're here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm here along with the other members of the advisory committee to find out what you want us to advise you. You may not like the advice that we finally give, but we're going to give it to you anyway. We have five meetings. Thank you. I didn't have it engraved in my mind. We do have five meetings, all here in Salem. You have meetings around the state, but we have 5 meetings here. The next one will actually be Monday. Our first one will be Monday. Then November 12th, November 25th, December 2nd, and December 10th is our last meeting. And they'll all be here in Salem. So we are really interested in what it is that you know, I've never seen anything like this CAT before, where you have a committee and then you have an advisory committee. But anyway, we're glad to help. The problem is great. It needs to be solved. There may be some distasteful answers that come out of it, but nonetheless, it's important to do it. We've got a real problem in Oregon.
Okay, I appreciate those comments. And actually, Governor, we have, after the adoption of the rule, see if I had anticipated doing this, I would have looked at my agenda a little more carefully. We have adoption of the rules and the discussion of the work plan. If I could ask you maybe to stay at the table while we take care of the rules, we may have some conversation with you generally about the role of the advisory committee and where we're going on this. And then we'll get into our informational meeting. But let's take just a second to look at the rules. Do you want to introduce the rules to us? Okay, why don't you tell us where they came from?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have in front of you a single sheet of paper that says proposed rules of the Revenue Options School Funding and School Accountability Task Force. They've been customized to fit this committee. It's a little different than some of the other committees, but there's nothing unusual about it. We need a majority of the entire committee to take action. It's some committees, joint committees, a majority of each side, and that's not the case with this committee. And that's really about the only thing that's very notable.
Yeah, Senator Dukes.
And actually, 3 and 4, that was my issue, right? Is that in the statute?
Yes.
We did that. Okay, never mind.
To ourselves. Any other questions about the rules?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
I move adoption of the proposed rules as presented to us.
Representative Butler moves adoption of the proposed rules for the Revenue Option School Funding and School Accountability Task Force. Is there any further discussion on the rules? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the rules are adopted. Thank you very much. Okay, let's get on with the work plan. Paul, do you want to come up?
Mr. Chair, I've kind of put together some thoughts on a draft work plan, and they're, I believe, in your material. And what I've done is try to think in terms of what your final report would look like, and I've have several labels as to how the work plan would go. The first I've grouped as findings. Does everybody have that work plan? I've called findings, which is really kind of a survey of the situation. I guess in my view, in terms of your public hearings, I think this would be a real critical element to that, to get input from the public in terms of reviewing and identifying weaknesses in the current revenue system and the school finance system, defining the problem, and also spending some time giving overall direction in terms of general goals. What are the general goals of the revenue system and the school finance system? You do actually have some tax system goals and statute now. And the third area that I would label findings would be to review the current school accountability and cost management system. So I think all three of those areas are consistent with the charge that you've been given in House Bill 4063. The second category would be that of recommendations. And the bill itself is very clear that you are to provide some recommendations on how to lessen the dependence of the revenue system on the personal income tax. And that I think can be done, whether you're talking about a revenue neutral proposal or a revenue enhancing proposal. I think the statute is very clear to give you direction to do that. The other I think is a little trickier, and that is in terms of school accountability, what I put there on recommendations is to identify the links between the goals and costs, and to recommend methods to track and reduce the cost. The first aspect would be to make sure that the costs and the resources that are used within the system are directed at the goals, and the second would be to make recommendations on how to reduce those costs in order to achieve the goals. And I have put in there an element, a tracking element there, I think, which relates back to a number of things that have gone on over the years, particularly the database initiative, which would give you as policymakers the information to make decisions on the overall system. So if you're envisioning what this report, I guess what I've thought is would be the findings to identify the problem and then the recommendations to the legislature in terms of the recommending approaches or feasible approaches. You know, I think you have a lot of flexibility as to whether you want to define that broadly and make recommendations as a general approach, or be very specific about specific kinds of proposal and specific kinds of legislation. So those were the kind of the general outline in terms of the work plan. The remaining piece there is on the process. And again, I've just tried to think about this in terms of the bill and trying to be consistent with the direction there and with public meetings in the congressional districts. You know, that seems to direct you to obtain public input and really to focus on those findings to give you a broad perspective on where the issues are. Then, of course, Governor Tia's chairmanship of the Direct Advisory the Advisory Council, and then to give the Advisory Council some overall direction as to what you expect from them. And I've laid out some things there to think about. And what I've tried to do in that process piece is to divide the revenue side from the accountability side, so that the two are separate and distinct. I think it's easy to get bogged down when you get the two of those wrapped together. So I thought about that as maybe there's ways to get, you can get advice on the revenue side that would be completely independent of the accountability side. And so that's the way that's put together. And the overall direction would be to lay out what these optional approaches are, again, to the direct charge of reducing dependence on the personal income tax, to identify the pros and cons of each approach. And of course, they all have pros and then they all have cons as well, as you know. And to discuss the implementation issues. I think when you talk about any kind of changes in the revenue system, the discussion always inevitably goes to implementation. How does this get passed? Is it constitutional? Is it statutory? Is it something on the ballot? Those kinds of issues. And given the experience that you have on your advisory council, you could probably get some very valuable input there. And then finally, to recommend a preferred approach to you, so you would have a basis, direct recommendation to go from. And then the second area would be provide guidance on the school accountability and cost management. Now you have, if you look at your advisory council, you have a number of people that are, have a lot of experience within the school system, a number of representatives from the different districts around the state. So to identify where those major cost centers are in terms of what's driving school budgets, to review the reporting system, again, back to giving you the information you need to make decisions on the overall state school fund. And to recommend methods for improving that flow of information. And finally, to recommend some potential cost savings that would not affect achievement of the goals. And then finally, the process piece would be to review guidance from the Advisory Council. The Advisory Council will have their final meeting scheduled for December 10th. And they should have their recommendations to you in a meeting after that. Review that those recommendations to direct Jan and I to prepare a report, and then for you to review and modify that report. Now, we can work out specific dates and things, and we have to think about those locations and time of those meetings.
Well, let's talk about the outline of the recommendations and the work plan, I guess, first. Any discussion on those? I have some comments, but I'd be happy to receive them from the committee. Senator George. No, you go ahead.
Thank you. Paul, I believe that in your description, you said we were going to be broad enough to look at a lot of issues, and one of those I believe that we need to look at is we appear, according to sources like Governing Magazine and others who have studied our system, we're spending more than the national average on education, yet we seem to have significant number of problems, and I think that would be important to do that. The other thing would be to get an early analysis of what more stable tax system is. I'd like to know what we're talking about here, because I think that'll be pertinent to the discussion. It may also affect how many people are in the room, depending on what kind of recommendations we make, because over the weekend I listened to the governor on Channel 2 talk about more stable funding, and he never articulated what he was talking about. And I've tried to think of about every kind of tax you could imagine in order to achieve a stable funding, and it seems to me that almost every one of those are dependent upon the health of the economy. So I'd like to have, as early as we could, some determination of what more stable tax system is.
Mm-hmm.
What that looks like. Thank you.
I'm thinking in terms of the senator's comments, certainly that would come under, I think we could probably fit that under school accountability. That'd be the issue of the dollars that are being spent in the system and how those compare to other states and the value we're getting out of those dollars. I think that probably is all subsumed in accountability.
Right. One of the things, you know, you'll hear statements made, Mr. Chairman, if I could. You hear statements made that there's a reduction in school funding. We all know that the governor proposed $3 billion for 95-97. We passed $5.2 billion. It's actually $7,167,000,000. Now, what we need to know is, how does that compare on an average daily attendance over the last 10 years, particularly on an average student basis? How do we look? How are we in relationship to other states relative to the what I believe is a growth in the amount being spent per child per day?
Other comments? Thank you. Senator?
Paul, I have a question. The bill says evaluate the current property tax system is one of the things, and I may be missing some language that does that in the draft plan, but I didn't see it in there. I don't want it to dominate anything, and as you all know, it could. But I think that it needs. I mean, I was just looking for it in the plan.
Okay. Under the revenue options keys for the directive for the directing advisory council. You know, I guess I've thought of that property tax piece as one of the options for reducing dependence on the first lien.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the change we've seen over the last 10 years.
I was looking at it narrowly as
we reduced that. I agree, I had the same question about that, because I didn't see that either in the work plan, but if that's how it's going to come in. Is the task force satisfied with that? Do we want something more? Direct Senator is right, we could spend the next 6 months talking about the property tax system and not get beyond that. Other questions?
Although I understand that this task force is dedicated to looking at revenue options and the stability of the revenue system, I think as we look at accountability, and particularly given the dominance of K through 12 funding as part of the state's budget, I want to make sure we look at how we are doing compared to where we say we want to be. And I think that means the QEM. The QEM is voter adopted. It's established as what the voters of Oregon want our K through 12 system to deliver. And it seems to me that that's a key element of what our K through 12 funding should be accountable to, is delivering that model of education and the results in particular that are envisioned in that model. And I don't know that that's explicit here. I don't want us, I mean, this is another one of those issues that could dominate the discussion and take 6 months in itself, but if we don't use that as a fundamental underpinning of what we do, I think we miss a major part of what the voters have asked us to do.
I think it's a good point, and maybe in getting at it this way, that in helping better understand, well, first of all, we need to know where we are for sure before we can figure out where we're going. And one of the ways that we can better understand where we are is through the process of comparison. And I think there are several ways to compare, several things to compare against. One would be, as Senator George has already touched on, where are we relative to other states, for instance. Another would be, where are we today relative to a recent history? How do we stand in comparison to funding and dollars spent in the system, let's say, as compared to 10 years ago? And another, I think, as Representative Nolan raises, is where are we as compared with these identified goals in the QEM? Those are all going to give us different pictures of where we are, but maybe together by overlaying those, we can get a good sense of our current status. Mm-hmm. Good. What else, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, another follow-up question. Representative Donna Nelson asked for and received, I believe it's like 5 or 6 pages of closely typed mandates the state put upon our local school districts, and I would like to know if we could get a letter out to every district and or an email, whatever's convenient and less expensive, to ask them, have they had a chance to review that list, and what type of burdens do they believe that we've placed upon them that it cost them a lot of money, or not at all maybe. But I sure would like to have some input, because you hear that when you're out talking to folks in the districts about the burden of requirement. And at the same time, we never ever hear from them saying, you know, here's what I'd like you to get rid of, you know, yep, lines 1 through 20. And I think that would be very informative to hear from them whether they believe this is a very costly operation that we've placed upon them.
I agree. And looking at the process, Paul, I see you anticipating those very comments. You say seek input on findings through public meetings and correspondence. Right. And I see in our audience today, the guys that have the email listserv that goes to every district in the state, it ought to be fairly easy to work with some of our associates and try to get that request for information, solicitation out, basically, mm-hmm, so that that kind of information can help guide our discussions and the advisory committee's discussions.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator,
I think the advisory committee is a great place to pull that feedback together.
You know, and that gets back to, I think, Governor, first of all, I don't know if I said this when I brought you up, but I want to thank you for your agreement to participate in this. I think it adds a sheen of credibility and responsible leadership to our group, and to have you serving the Citizens Advisory Committee. So I really deeply appreciate it. I think I speak for the members of the task force, too, your willingness to take your time in the next couple of months to do this. You mentioned kind of the odd combination of an advisory group and a task force. And it seems to me, and I'll welcome your comments on this as well and the members of the task force, but as I try to figure this out and looking at the work plan, one thing I think we need to be careful to try not to do is both to duplicate efforts at the same time. That is, we're trying to do the same thing at the task force level as you are doing at the Citizen Advisory Committee level, because as I read the bill, the Advisory Committee is to advise the task force. And it seems to me we could have stepped out a little bit ahead of ourselves if we start too far down the road of recommendations ourselves before the Citizens Advisory Committee gets there. And so, as I see this, somehow is working, thinking of this in terms of levels, the Citizens Advisory Committee being the place to which this information is drawn and evaluated, and then there's recommendations from the Citizens Advisory Committee coming up to the task force, then you evaluate on the basis of that information, so that you're sort of the first level of receiving the information and evaluating the information and presenting that to this task force to be further vetted and evaluated. For the purpose of the legislative report and the introduction of legislation. Does that sound workable? I mean, does it sound like a good model? But I'm assuming we'll sit on our hands until you're done. Well, obviously, time is of the essence here, and we're going to have to do some of our own orientation. I think that's good to do while you're doing your work. But it seems to me that we don't want to step on the toes of the Citizens Advisory Committee by getting too far out in front of what they are doing at the same time that they're doing. And if I had a response, maybe Governor.
It is confusing. My own personal view is that I'm not going to feel too much of a straitjacket, and I hope you folks do the same. You need to review. We've got a serious problem in Oregon and have had since ballot measure 5 passed. It's not been identified as a serious problem by anyone that I can recognize over the years. But you were able to mask it with a good economy. However, the bad economy showed you the dark side of what happened. You're going to have to make some recommendations to the Oregon legislature next session. They may very well be very controversial, but they shouldn't be avoided. I figure my job is to go through and, the title tells you where the problem is. You've got a revenue problem, so you want to know what the options are. You've got a school funding problem, and how we're going to deal with that. And you've got accountability of schools. The title tells you where the problem is. I would add one other problem, and that is that the legislature and the governor piled on new programs after a whole large chunk of property taxes moved over to the income tax side by ballot 5. That's a problem too, and you ought to look at it. I asked during the course of your special sessions for several legislators to find out what was added to the budget since ballot 5 passed. Never did get an answer, but it's something worth looking at. I do want to go through it so you know who we are. You've already seen some of the members, but I'm going to go through the entire list of names and let you know who's on this committee. Eric Blacklatch, Blacklatch Furniture. Now, incidentally, these are selected by the president, Senate president, speaker. I gave him some recommendations. You may have given recommendations. Others, that's where they came from. Jim Johnson, business and civic entrepreneur. Roger Christensen, CEO of Columbia River Bank. Senator Janet Hamby, business owner, former senator, and you know her. Jim Johnson, business and civic entrepreneur. Gene Maynard, vice president of Maynard Engineering. Harvey Matthews, UI. Brian Metley, superintendent of Glendale School District. Philip Romero, he's the dean of the College of Business at the University of Oregon. Jim Scherzinger, superintendent of the Portland Schools. Al Switzer, Klamath County Commissioner. And Jerry Wilson, superintendent of Hermiston School District. There are really some darn good folks in here that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding. And I expect we're going to go through it. We're going to look at it. You go ahead and do your thing. I don't think we need to be, hamstrung by any particular tight rules. We've got a short period of time to do a very serious problem, and we got to get at it. So that's our plan. You're going to finish after we will, so it's kind of hard for us to advise you what you ought to come up with, but we just give you what you have. This is what we think, and that's a bone you can chew on. I would tell you this, that my entire 20 years in the legislature, something unusual occurred, and that was that I was on a tax committee for 20 years. I've seen everybody's tax plan, including my own. Everybody's idea of what ought to happen. The one that's most popular is the tax that somebody else pays. And I would, you that's what you folks did this last time with the cigarette tax. You picked out a small number of electorate and said, we're going to pile on a tax on that. Pardon me for criticizing so severely, but I hate to see that happen. Those kinds of things really ought to, you know, pay attention to. As I say, we'll make our advice. You may not like our advice, but we're going to give it to you, and we'll do it in good time. We're asking these folks to travel quite a bit because we're meeting here in Salem. Some of them coming quite a distance.
Well, Governor, if I could say, sometimes the advice you like least to hear is the advice you most need to get. So I would say I wouldn't consider your group to be hamstrung or limited in any respect by what it looks at or by the list of recommendations you may ultimately refer back to this committee. We'll have to deal with those.
They may very well be very controversial, but they shouldn't be avoided. I figure my job is to, and that is to the budget since ballot bypassed. Never did get an answer, but that's something worth looking at. I do want to go through it so you know who we are. You've already seen some of the members, but I'm going to go through the entire...